Mick, go ahead and tell us what this guy did. How did he approach you? What's the first transaction that occurred?
The first transaction that occurred was he came up and selected a shotgun and a revolver that I had in my remaining inventory and wanted to know if he could purchase them. We communicated back and forth, and nothing about him seemed terribly odd at the time initially. And after the transaction was actually completed, I'd seen his driver's license, and he had paid me in cash for these two firearms. Then he mentioned, oh, well, my old lady flung something on me a little over a year ago. And I turned to him and said, dude, you need to get that cleaned off, referring to my contemplation or interpretation of flinging something on you would necessarily mean a temporary restraining order regarding a potential domestic violence issue, which isn't necessarily a crime. It's a short-term prohibition where you two stay apart, and hopefully you both cool down, and you work everything out. And ironically, when asking further at that point, he did comment that they were still together. And I'm thinking temporary restraining order. They're good for 90 days. He said, over a year ago. This wasn't hard to connect the dots and realize that everything was okay. Nevertheless, once he walked away, I wrote down his name and date of birth, and his address, and I used them to do a background check on him later that evening. I saw that he had no criminal history in Florida or nationwide under his name, the name I saw on the driver's license.
Okay, so...
Let me to go from there.
No, well, yeah, what happens, and so he came to you and he flung something on you. Now, you obviously know the street lingo, and I live in a bubble. So I would say she flung something on me, and it would go almost completely over my head. I'd think, what is it? Spaghetti sauce? Or, I mean, you know, what? Okay, what's... And because he said that, I if I were somebody selling firearms at history, I would, you know, I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but I'm a reasonable person. I would just not know what he's talking about. But he's using code words that aren't defined in statute either.
True. And there's not much you can fling on someone other than food that I can think of other than a temporary restraining order.
So this guy, he did a transaction. He actually gave you cash and he purchased these items.
And left. And I did a background check and determined that evening that there was no problem with him as an individual. And I did that surely out of curiosity and seeking personal security.
Okay.
A comfort level and zone to be recovered after that transaction.
Okay.
Well, he approached me again the next month at another show, roughly 150 miles away, which isn't that unusual. You'll see a lot of people go around to the bigger...
Yeah, different gun shows. Yeah.
...shows throughout the state.
Yeah, that's right. And it's usually the same people hosting the show.
Longer story shorter, yeah. He acquired two handguns at this show. One of them happened to be one of my employees' handgun that he had out for sale and had come with me to hopefully liquidate to, ironically, make a payment towards his daughter's college tuition. This gentleman bought it. I received thing from that transaction. And midway through this transaction, in the audio tape that the jury and everyone got to listen to, this gentleman comes right out and says he was a convicted felon. And I, at that point, drew the two firearms back, little revolvers, a revolver and an automatic, back across the tables and said, you're a what? And he proceeded to recite this series of incidents where he had been incarcerated overnight. He received no jail time. He received no probation. He received no fine. He couldn't recite what, in fact, he had been convicted of, when, or where. And the problem with this lack of information is that more than a few times folks had been in my store, hundreds of times over the course of the 25 years that I worked in the business, wanting to know how they could pursue getting their civil rights restored. And they admitted, walking in the door, I'm a convicted felon, whether federal or state, and what their transgression or transgressions had been. And I would point them towards lawyers to pursue, in the case of state infractions, and a state bar against them being able to own a firearm ever again. And depending on what the crime had been, sometimes it was they were caught with an ounce and one-tenth of a gram beyond that of marijuana. And they served 3 years in state prison for that. And that was when they were 19 years old through when they were 22. And now they're 56. And they've never been able to vote. And they've never been able to sit on a jury. They've never been able to hold public office. And they've never been able to hold a reasonable job since, in addition to not being able to own a firearm and have a natural right to self-defense.
Okay, so essentially that's, and just for our listeners who are joining us, Mick is telling us an experience of he had. He was set up. He was trying his best to do the right thing, but somebody was bound and determined to make sure that they had something against him that they could use as leverage to do whatever it is they want to do. That's the kind of thing that I'm getting from this. But we're going to continue to listen to Mick's story because I think it's important. But the reason why he called was really to tell me about his interest in dealing with this issue where somebody is stripped of their, it's sort of citizenship rights. It's rights such as privileges and immunities that would normally be available to any man, but for some what ought to be administrative issue or some minor thing or some not a natural wrong that has been made a wrong artificially.
Imagine this, David. I can't go to Canada.
You can't get a passport because you've convicted.
Well, I can get a passport, okay. But not allowed in Canada. No convicted felon from the United States is.
But that's a Canada rule, is it not?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, we'll get to that. But go ahead and tell me the story, because the intrigue of the story is this guy basically making a recording, working for the government. He supposedly has a criminal background or whatever. It turns out you found out later that he's got multiple identities, and it's particularly to be a FBI bait and hook kind of guy to basically use as a mechanism to do anything they want to somebody who they want to entrap. That's what it seems like. So tell us what happened next after you sold this these guns. He said, I'm a convicted felon. Now, you told us a background saying, wait a minute, I'm a reasonable person. Now, any reasonable person, when somebody says, my wife flung something on me, I'm thinking mustard, you know, something like that. My wife was mad at me one time. She spit at my chest. That flung something on me. And I saw when my wife spit at my chest that I had done something bad and I better figure out what I ought to do to change my behavior because my loving wife was ticked off. Okay, she flung something at me and I'm a reasonable person. Now, to you, a reasonable person says I'm a convicted felon. A reasonable person wouldn't really understand flung something on me, but I think in the context of your being reasonable under your experience, you knew what flung something on me meant, and you knew the details behind it, bless your heart. And then he says, I'm a convicted felon, but he really doesn't have anything that shows that he really is. He might be just, you don't know what he's doing.
Confused.
Yeah, confused. Okay.
I've met more than a few of those folks over the course of the years, but the fact of the matter is, I never, ever, in 28 years in the business, spoke with an individual who stated that they were a convicted felon who couldn't cite for you chapter and verse, the statute down to the umpteenth little paragraph, letter, and number, what they were convicted of, when they were convicted, when their prison or jail time began,
right,
when they were released on parole or entered into probation or home confinement, and when all of the sanctions against them had been satisfied.
Wow.
Because everybody who's lived through that doesn't forget that.
And you had done a criminal background check on the guy, and so you're thinking, he's weird. He doesn't have a criminal record, right? So you pulled the guns back, and then what happened after that?
Well, we went through him explaining in front of about 12 people standing there at the time, ironically enough, including my employee coming back to the table, who'd gone to the bathroom, and everybody around the table was convinced. And I said to him point blankly on the audio tape, which the jury got to listen to, I'm sorry, but there's no way you can be a convicted felon without getting a fine, a sentence, knowing what you were convicted of, knowing when you were convicted of it, and no criminal sanctions other than a night in jail.
That's right. You don't have to commit a crime to get a night in jail.
That's correct.
They're free to put you in jail for, you know, as long as it takes to get to you to the magistrate. That's right.
Yeah.
You might have been arrested for a felony.
In the old days when there were hostile situations between husbands and wives, that was usually what was done.
And only on the initial indictment. It doesn't matter that it was true or not.
Correct.
Right.
This was all a fabrication.
Okay.
It was played like the pawn that I was.
Okay. So what happened after you said to him in front of this crowd, you don't know, you're goofing off, you're doing something weird here, but so what did you think? You didn't just not make the sale? What happened?
No.
You were being set up.
There was no way this gentleman could possibly be a convicted felon based on the information that I already had in my head.
Okay.
Experience with that background check, first of all. And second of all, his lack of knowledge regarding being able to enunciate what he'd been convicted of, when and where.
Okay, according to your reason, as a reasonable person.
Confused.
Okay, according to your reason.
Much everybody else there.
Okay, according to your reason, as a reasonable person, you determine, I don't know what his game is, but I've done a background check on him. He came out clean, and he's doing something weird, and it doesn't, every person I've ever met in the same situation is not like this guy. So now you determine, why did you make the sale? I mean, well, don't tell us what you made the sale. Tell us what we got to press on here. We're limited in time.
Honestly, the jury found me not guilty of that count.
But tell us what happened. We need to know the story. I want to hear the saga.
You found not guilty of what count?
Wait. We're not there yet, Mick.
Okay.
See, you haven't even been arrested.
Oh, this is true.
You made a sale. You haven't even made a sale yet. You withdraw the guns. And here I'm trying to get you to tell me the story.
First sale with him a month before, but I haven't made this one yet.
Okay, so make this sale. We're running out of time, so go ahead.
I was convinced that he couldn't possibly be a convicted felon. I went ahead and slid these two handguns back across the glass cases to him and said, I don't think there's any way you can possibly be a convicted felon. I think you need to check that out. Have a great day. And there were a dozen people around who had known me doing business at trade shows in Florida for 10 years, and nobody blinked an eye.
Okay, so in this particular case,
I was always exceptionally careful.
In this case, the jury agreed with you and said that was. Now, they got you on two counts. There may have been something that he said about the flung on me and all that kind of stuff. Now, it turns out that what did they do when it comes time to say, hey, we've got some information and we're going to go ahead and seize this guy? We need to know the details of them kicking in the door and the effect they had, and also the kind of statements they made about you had better play ball.